Guys, I haven't even changed since yesterday. I recorded in this, I slept in it, and then I woke up, put on a bra, got myself a little situated, and now I'm recording because I just want to talk about the Valley. It's a nuanced little fucker of an episode, I'll tell you, and I'm actually having a hard time figuring out how to even start breaking it down. I'm going to abandon my normal like scene for scene for scene because I just need to get to like the pieces of, I'm even going to use my notes, my notebook to draw the diagram because it's all a little, it's a lot. It's a lot of moving parts. And there's been a lot of conversation online about all the different facets of it. So let's just get into it, okay? Okay, so here's, from my understanding, what has happened. It starts with Michelle. I'm literally writing this down so I don't lose track of what happened here. Michelle said to Janet something along the lines of the "Don't Say Gay" bill protects children. Now that is alarming. It is. However, not everybody is politically savvy. So when Janet tells the story and tells her version of having gone to Jasmine and say, wait. So then Janet goes to Jasmine to say, I think Michelle is a little confused about what the bill even is. You know, actually, though, let's make it shady. Janet might be downplaying what she said, but let's make it a little more realistic. Janet goes to Jasmine and she's like, oh, my fucking God. I was just with Michelle, and she said the Don't Say Gay bill protects children. Is she a Republican? And then they had a conversation. Okay, there's that. Now, I am interested to know if Janet asked Michelle more questions. Like, I want to know if she asked her in real time, like, wait, hold on. Why do you think that? What? Explain yourself. Or if she just took it and ran with it, which I guess she's allowed to do. I don't know. You don't necessarily want to argue with someone over politics, you know, necessarily. So maybe you just wanted to go vent to a friend. And also, I do believe that she was kind of talking it out, like, maybe Jasmine, maybe you can talk to her. Maybe she doesn't understand, or I don't know, something like that, let's say. So Janet has gone to Jasmine. Jasmine then tells Messy Boots Zach some version of that. Some version of that, which is, so apparently Michelle thinks the Don't Say Gay bill protects children. And Zach was like, so she's homophobic. So she's a Republican. Okay, so what the fuck? Or something like that. Okay, because now Zach's going to take it and get Messy Boots with it. Zach takes it to Kristen. Now you see, Kristen, we've learned, has an issue with Janet. So Kristen will say, Zach knows not to come to me with Janet stuff and not expect me to tell it because she has a vendetta against Janet. Sorry, I'm losing my track. A vendetta against Janet because Janet had to set up a boundary with Kristen because her relationship with Alex was so off and on. Now, where does that sound familiar? Oh, Vanderpump Rules when Stassi and Katie could not handle the way she was going up and down with Carter. Another thing Janet tells us is that the way Kristen talked about the relationship with Alex was that she messed up, she made a mistake, but then Luke came into her life and all of a sudden Alex became the villain and she was the victim. So Janet predicts that the reason Kristen doesn't want Alex hanging with Luke is because he may tell his version of events and that won't coincide with what Kristen has been saying. So Kristen, and that's juicy. I love that. This is the dynamics. So Kristen is like, oh my God. So she's a racist because Kristen is coming off her own shit. And I think she got way too fucking excited about the potential for someone else to be labeled the racist because she didn't learn anything from her firing. Clearly, we'll get to that. Her little monologue at the end later. But Kristen was like, Janet said that. Janet called Michelle. Because also, here's what's funny, is that she wasn't even concerned with what Michelle did or said that would make anyone think this about her. She just immediately villainized Janet as someone who labels people racist. And Kristen knows better than anybody what it's like to be labeled a racist. So, Kristen... And now this is the big discrepancy, because Kristen tells whoever, I'm not 100% sure who, but it appears in the moment when Kristen and Brittany are fighting. Yes, I am literally writing this down because there are just so many moving parts. Kristen and Brittany are fighting over Alex getting invited to the guys' night. And it seems as if Brittany is the one to bring this up on camera and say, well, are you not being vindictive? Like you're saying Jax is. But here's what I think actually happened. Because I don't think Brittany is, no offense, smart enough to like calculate. I'll bring it up first, but then I'll blame it on Kristen because Kristen was really the one saying it. That's a very like Kyle LVP move. And I don't really think Brittany operates like that in her mind. I think that, because I can't remember who was it. So, shit, what cast was it? And I can't remember where I even saw the interview. Could have been Watch. I think it was, no, it wasn't Watch What Happens Live. Might have just been a podcast. And I don't remember what the cast was, but someone on some cast somewhere said that you don't necessarily need to bring something up on camera for it to still make it to the show and be planted for the show. All you have to do is have a conversation with production around. Cameras could be down, but producer like still packing up or talking or whatever, and saying anything like that in front of producers would make them want to follow the story. And so what I'm thinking happened is Kristen did something like that. Like Kristen went and told Brittany something, and maybe the cameras weren't up, but producers were in earshot. Or she straight up told her producer. She said this to her producer, and then that producer followed up with some people and were like, wait, is this what happened? And because I just don't think Brittany's calculated, but she does technically seem like she's the one who brought it up on camera. I just don't think that, maybe I'm being naive to how smart Brittany might be, but I just think that that's not the move. And I think Kristen is smart enough to know how to, oh, bye, Ty Ty. Kristen is smart enough to know that she could bring it up the way she, because she knows the show, she knows how the producers work. She could bring it up off camera, but still in front of producers or straight up just tell everybody. So that's what I think happened. Okay, I am going to be completely honest with you guys. I am terrified to cover this, the rest of this. I'm terrified to go over my thoughts on it because anytime I bring up politics on this show, I get hit with like 3 bad Apple Podcast reviews or a lot of mean comments on YouTube. When I first started my YouTube channel, I was like attracting all Republicans and they really hated me. And I just got beat up a lot in the comments over my political beliefs. Like, if you keep saying shit about Trump being bad, then you're going to lose, you're never going to grow or whatever. Just like a lot of shit like that. So I have a lot, I'm a little like PTSD with talking politics, because every time I utter anything about politics, my whole body tenses up. So I've actually redone this whole episode 3 times now. Okay, so I don't know how to cover this without being honest about my political beliefs. And I know that a lot of you are conservative who follow me, and I don't mean to alienate you in any way, shape, or form. If you do not have racist or homophobic ideology, but you identify as a Republican, if you don't like Trump and you identify as a Republican, then none of these things I'm going to say about Republicans or Trump supporters have to do with you. I promise. It's like when people talk about dumb blondes. I'm not going to be offended. Or, you know, when conservatives talk about liberal snowflakes, I'm like, fine, I don't care. Like, I just need to cover this topic that has been brought up on this show. And I hope I don't alienate too many of you into thinking I just hate all Republicans. But I am a very liberal person, clearly, you know, like nothing conservative about me. And I just can only come from my angle and my perspective. And I know this is just about Bravo and we're supposed to have fun and whatever, but like that's the topic they've presented us with here. Okay, so now that that disclaimer has been put into place, I would like to break this down. I might just have to turn off video comments on this video because I just don't know if I can handle a barrage of like hate over this. But what has happened here is Michelle said something that concerned Janet. Janet then tells Jasmine in the hopes that maybe Jasmine could talk to Michelle. Maybe. At worst, what Janet did was just gossip with Jasmine. Now, if I found out a friend of mine supported the Don't Say Gay bill, I don't know. I would have a hard time as well because it's not easy to debate politics with a friend. The only person I can even put in that category is my one of my besties. I don't want to say her name in this context, but I've brought her up before. She just isn't educated on politics and will say ignorant stuff, ignorant. And we have fought. Like, we have fought. One fight in particular was brutal. I was screaming. I had to leave because I was like, oh, I need to calm the fuck down. So it can become a very heated conversation when someone says something that's close to you that you don't connect with, that just sounds off. It doesn't sound like them either. And when they seem to not get, I don't know, it can get very frustrating. So it's a very delicate thing. So I kind of do understand Janet maybe not saying anything to Michelle in that moment. But was it ever talked about with Michelle? Did anybody ever ask Michelle about it to her face? Maybe we're going to get more. I'm going to guess maybe they're going to talk about it more and Michelle's going to address it. I don't want to assume it's not going to be addressed because we're just getting it revealed to us. So I'm wondering if Michelle will clarify what was said and what she said, what she meant, what she feels, etc. But another thing to add to this is that Katie went on her podcast and, oh, I just realized I forgot to play the Katie clip, the Katie and Dana clip. I guess I could play it now. Let me play this clip of Katie talking about Jesse.
I mean, I don't know them like super well, but I've spent some time with them and I was not a fan of him.
Michelle seems lovely.
She's the sweetest. And I, of course, never said anything, but I would make comments with some of the other gals that'd be in our friend group. And we were like, he's kind of a pig.
Awful.
And I would hear, and they had this boys group chat and he would say really whack stuff in this group. I'm not going to repeat it because it's
about his wife or just
no,
like, extracurriculars.
Just a tease.
I think it's also some of that's going to come out this season from what I've heard.
Like, very extremely problematic.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd say problematic. But
we like sexist, racist, like which one?
It's an ist.
It's an ist.
Doesn't that like not shock us in any way, shape, or form? My crush on Jesse's gone, by the way. Totally gone. I'm relieved. I'm like, oh, thank God. I do have some limits. So the crush on Jesse's gone. So Jesse, of all people, to be this up in arms over his family name getting dragged into this. We have a business that we run, he says on his thing. So I know I'm not doing my normal scene by scene, and I'll make sure I don't like miss any of my notes. I don't know. I'm skipping all around. I feel very weird doing it this scattered. But finding that out about Jesse here is because if Katie says it, she don't lie. So I believe Katie. So Jesse to be like, this is my family business. You're ruining my reputation. I'm like, oh, bro, no. You're going to totally do that on your own. You're going to totally do that on your own. But it is so stupid of Kristen to have tried to run with this just to make Janet look bad. It's the most miscalculated move on her part. If you hear that, you go and talk to Janet if you really don't want it to turn into something. But you got Kristen got way too excited to throw Janet under the bus. And all she did was throw Michelle under the bus and herself, honestly. Because now no one's asking, because I would like to know, Michelle, what do you think about the Don't Say Gay bill? Maybe we're going to get into it. But like, I also now want to know what the fuck Jesse has to say about any of this. But also, let's not deflect. Jax, okay? Brittany, Jax, they may claim to be liberal, but there are just some dumb, ignorant things they've also said as well. So no one's really innocent here on this show, on this cast, except maybe Jasmine. But Janet, I don't know. I don't know, Janet. I don't know how she presented it for real. The game of telephone, though, does track to me. It does track that no one said racist, but Kristen heard it because she's so on alert with shit like that. You know what I mean? If you are trying to be on a health kick like me, it's almost dangerous to go into a store because you can't walk past the good stuff. You're like, should I get a cake? No, don't. But then you do. So I love Hungry Root because I can do full-on grocery shopping. And I'm talking the good stuff. I have discovered brands that I had never heard of that do amazing healthy alternatives to food I crave that's not necessarily healthy. So the grocery shopping is top notch, but you can also look for meals. You can look up, that's kind of what a lot of people probably use Hungry Root for, to look up meals that they can make, follow some steps, etc. But you all know me and you know I hate cooking. So I literally filter it down to under 5 minutes. That is how much cook time and prep time I want. Okay. And so here is actually how it works. You take a fun short quiz and Hungry Root gets to know you, what your goals are, how you like to eat. And so every week they build a personalized cart for you with what they think would be what you'd want to have for the week. Now, see, I like to clear the cart because I personally enjoy the shopping in the store. I actually have fun doing that. But they do put together things that I would generally like. And then you can choose, I liked that, I didn't like that. So then they get to know you more and more as time goes on. But they've got everything. They've got fresh produce, high quality meat and seafood, healthy snacks, smoothies, sweets, ready to eat meals, kid snacks, vitamins, supplements, everything. And here's the best part is every single thing from Hungry Root follows a very simple standard. It's got to taste good, be quick to make, and contain whole, trusted ingredients. Right now, Hungry Root is offering She's Speaking with Emily Hanks listeners 40% off your first delivery and free veggies for life. Just go to hungryroot.com/shespeaks to get 40% off your first delivery and get your free veggies. That's hungryroot.com/shespeaks. Don't forget to use our link so they know we sent you. You all know I know Cozy. So Cozy Earth has been a sponsor of this podcast for quite some time, and I couldn't love them more. I have two of their loungewear pants, one shirt, three fitted sheets, two towels, and I think I even have a cart that's full waiting for me to hit buy. Because I love it so much. And they give the most incredible discount to the listeners. We get 35% off when we use the code SHESPEAKS. Let me tell you about Cozy Earth, if you didn't already know. Cozy Earth bedding is temperature regulating. So me, who runs hot, loves the cool viscous from bamboo sheets. Now, if you've never heard of viscous from bamboo, neither had I. But it is my new current favorite fabric. You have never felt anything so soft. Let me also talk about these loungewear pants. Not only can you wear them around the house because they're so cozy, but they're flattering and like kind of elegant, so you can wear them out too. And I do. And did I mention that all products come with a 100-night sleep trial and a 10-year warranty? And actually, something from Cozy Earth would be a great Mother's Day gift. Just a little tip. So head over to CozyEarth.com, use the promo code SHESPEAKS, and you get an exclusive 35% off. The luxury she deserves. Okay, let me try to go through the episode now and see if I pull up anything that I haven't already covered. No, that's pretty much it. Oh yeah, Jax goes to Jax's. Because they're interviewing people, and we find out he hasn't invested any money. It's just three partners, and it's just his name that he's thrown up there. But they hold interviews, and Jax can't even hide his attraction to one of the applicants who's not wearing a bra. And the man couldn't be giddier. And even in his interview, he's like, did we even hire her? Okay, dude. Okay, Brittany and Kristen get lunch. This had some Easter eggs. I will say Brittany does a good job of telling Kristen, you have to take responsibility for bringing it up. You do. And for screwing over Michelle in the process. And also screwing over the audience, because now we don't get to know what really happened, you know? I would have preferred it be handled very different. But also, this is a really great messy way to do it. So never mind, actually. Do I love this? Because that's the thing about Kristen. She's absolute chaos. So your instinct is to be like, you idiot, what are you doing? But then I'm like, oh, this is pretty good. Oh, shit. Damn it. See, this show is about trash people. And so we're going to have to keep reminding ourselves of that. So, but when Kristen calls Zach, she FaceTimes Zach. She goes, I am wildly confused why you are denying the stuff that you told me. Now, mind you, they flash back repeatedly to this moment from Michelle's party where Kristen says, I'm not like Michelle or Janet said that. Like Janet did say that. And Zach going, you're not wrong. But I feel like they cut before he said the next thing, which is like, you're not wrong. She definitely said something was up with Michelle and her belief system. But I don't think she said racist. I don't know. Zach's a tricky one. They make good. Kristen and Zach make great best friends. They are chaos and crazy. But Kristen goes, why would I use the fucking R word, Zach? Don't throw me under the bus. And he goes, oh, my God, you're the bus driver, Kristen. You're running over all the bodies. It's so true. She is literally doing that. She's like, oh, Zach told me something. Just right over everybody. Well, Janet said and Jasmine said and blah, blah, blah. No, no, no. But Brittany does do a great job of just saying true. And Kristen hears Brittany. I feel like Kristen has always loved Brittany. And I just think that somehow she's like the Kristen whisperer in a way, sort of. Another thing that happens in the episode, Michelle and Jesse have couples therapy. Now, I usually dislike therapy on camera, but I have to say, for an unhappy couple, Jesse and Michelle are fascinating to watch. They're not too like dark and bickering and mean to each other. It's a fascinating like human study watching them. I don't know why they're going to be divorced soon. Let's hope. My God. But the road leading up to it, I'm kind of like, ooh, let's talk more. That family coach, that marriage coach or whatever he was good. I enjoyed their sessions. Like I could have done like a whole little mini series on just their therapy sessions because I'm curious. Like, excuse me. Jesse is a bit of a dark soul, a very dark soul. And Michelle is so light. And I just need to understand. But I bet what attracted Michelle to him was his drive and his determination. And he was like, this bitch is hot. This bitch is hot and she don't have too much of a mouth on her. I bet Jesse didn't want anyone that did a little too much talking back. You know, Jesse seems like that type of asshole. But we find out like, it's just all this stuff that they're painting such a cool picture. Not a cool picture. I take that back. Okay. So she says he's just really hard on her. Nothing she ever does is enough. I could see that. Remember when she was pulling stuff out for company to come over and he was like, why are you just thinking about this now? She's like, because I was with the kid all day. He's like, oh, you're just thinking about it now? I'm like, help her, you asshole. But she says that he doesn't want the house to look like they have a kid. And that's exactly what I picture. I picture that. I picture him being like when she got pregnant, I want to know what he said. She says they're like brother and sister instead of husband and wife. And then Jesse says he wonders if he was the most perfect passive husband, would it have even made a difference? And Jesse did a 5-day no alcohol fast. That motherfucker lost 12 pounds. That's a man for you. I'll tell you that. Your goddamn metabolisms. And she gave him, quote, the first compliment in years. And she goes, same. Are you really going to try that bullshit with me? And she says, like, I will come out and be like, how do I look? And you won't even look up. And you'll be like, you look great. So nice try, Jesse. The coach asks when the last time is that she was sexually attracted to him. And she goes, oh, don't make me answer that. How long has it been? And he's like 3.5 years. I'm assuming their daughter's 3.5 years old. So, yeah, not great. And she doesn't, what I appreciate is she was just honest about it. She's like, yeah, no. Mm-mm. Nothing happening here. Nothing happening down here for this man. Okay. This man over here is no. Oh my God. That's what happens. And I was, okay. So Janet and Jason, they're at home. She orders McDonald's, legend. And she reads what Kristen posts in her stories. It's so good. I would rather adjust my life to your absence than adjust my boundaries to accommodate your disrespect. Now, that could have been about Alex. That could have been about a number of people in Kristen's life, because it's Kristen, for crying out loud. The woman has something with everybody, you know? But it definitely feels pointed, especially when you're going through something with someone and it's like, is this about me? It's about me, isn't it? It's about fucking me. It's also so Kristen to do that. It's so fucking Kristen to do this, honestly. So Janet's like, I'm done. Having to put up a boundary with Kristen, it's interesting how putting up a boundary with Kristen equates like, now you are mortal enemies. And so that's what Kristen is like. Oh, you want a boundary? Watch this, bitch. I'm going to fucking take you down whenever I get a chance. Okay, Jesse is throwing a party to model after Capri, which apparently they have fucking gone to Capri every freaking year. And as much of an asshole as this man is, I'm all, oof, God, that sounds good. That sounds real nice. Oh, God, that sounds lovely. He's like, 5-star restaurant. Because he's trying to go where the billionaires who buy billion-dollar homes are. And I'm like, well, that's smart. But also, that sounds like, what a horrible demographic to be hanging out with. However, I would just still love to be there, but like, you know, not suck. So let's go to Capri. Doesn't it also make you think of the Capri room? The Buca di Beppo Capri room. Oh my God, you guys, I went there again for my birthday. One of the birthday things I did, I went there again for my birthday with my sister and brother-in-law. And Dorit has added a framed photo of her and the owner in the Capri room, but it's in, let me see if I still have it. They might have deleted it. If I have it, I'll post it somewhere. But it's like wedged in a space that it doesn't fit. Like, you know, when you're putting up wall stuff, you need to like look and make sure there's room on both sides, and like some certain walls can't handle a certain frame. You know what I mean? Like when you get, that's, everyone knows how to do wall art. Well, this little space that she put it in, the frame fits just in this little space. It's very forced in there, and it is so Photoshopped, it looks like AI. The Capri room is actually hysterical. Jasmine is with a woman named Melissa. And this woman's actually from her hometown. I like the way Jasmine described it. She's like, she was a little taste of home, a little familiar, and we've been together 3 years. So they get to this dinner party, and Kristen shows up and, of course, is acting like nothing happened, because that is what Kristen does. Kristen loves to be like, because she's crazy Kristen. Janet is fuming. So when they sit down at dinner, she is like whispering over to Brittany about how mad she is. And I can't tell exactly if they were ever talking to Kristen or if Kristen just overhears them. And she goes, is this appropriate conversation for the dinner table? Kristen loves calling things inappropriate. When she's fighting with Stassi and Katie at the whatever their wine, what is it, their Witches by WeHo wine or whatever, Witches of WeHo wine event. Kristen goes, this is inappropriate. Inappropriate at a wine event. She loves, this is inappropriate. This is inappropriate. You are the queen of inappropriate, Kristen. So I just find that rich. That's rich. Michelle opens the table up. She says, we're going to all talk together so that we can all be on the same page. And Kristen explains the chain. She says the chain was Janet to Jasmine to Zach to her and Luke. And you were telling Jasmine that she should be cautious of Michelle because she's a Republican. And what Zach said to us is that would equal racism or homophobia. Jasmine is not here for getting pulled into this. She's like, oh, no, 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 no. no, no, no. And Jasmine is like, I'm black, so I would never throw around racism, racist. I've experienced those things. I would not just throw that in there randomly without a lot of caution in my voice. And I do believe Jasmine. I do. Kristen says she's sorry to Michelle and that she did it because she felt cornered. And Jesse, with all the intensity, goes, why don't you say what you did? Call it a lie and don't call it anything else. His delivery of that. Now, I know I said Luke kind of freaks me out, but I did appreciate Luke going, okay, calm down, because you don't need to come in like that. And the way Jesse shifts, and he's like, excuse me? Now, I wanted to see him fight. Let him fight. I want to see who would actually, I feel like Luke would punch him in one hit and he'd be out. Luke seems, you know, Luke kind of freaks me out. Luke could do some shit, I feel. Like Luke has some like secret, like Nia has that, like the Taekwondo or whatever, jiu-jitsu. I feel like Luke could just like, he's got that Colorado mountain training. I don't know what that prepares you for. It just feels like he could take Jesse out in one hit. Maybe. Luke stands up even. He's like, apologize and don't come at her. And that's like fair. But then Michelle's also standing, but she's not, she's screaming, she's not, excuse me, God, I'm getting the hiccups again. Excuse me. She's screaming out, but she's not saying the truth. And I just find that a little interesting because I'm like, okay, wait, you are okay with the way Jesse's talking to Kristen? Because I did feel like Michelle should have been like, I got this. But clearly that's not the dynamic in this relationship. Oh, no, 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 no. Jesse says Kristen is dancing around it and not saying the truth. Nia is the only one actually defending Kristen here. She's like, hold on, it's a game of telephone. It got lost in translation. And Janet, it says, well, this has changed everything. This dinner. Oh, thank you. Oh, yes, it has. Kristen is like, I didn't make this up. It came to me. And Janet says, I am done with crazy Kristen. I don't know why, like, I got a kick out of that. I'm like, oh, do you guys all call her that? Like, for real? And then in Kristen's interview, she goes, let's be honest. Given my history, I'm an easy target. Y'all. What? No one is targeting you, Kristen. You put yourself in front of the firing squad and you're like, wait a minute, why are you all coming at me? It's like, you put yourself in this position. No one is coming for you at all. You're not a target. You made yourself a target. That's Kristen in a nutshell. Janet is like, if you thought I said she was racist, why wouldn't you call me? And then Kristen goes, well, then, Zach, I'm upset you brought it to my front door to try to make Janet look bad. I don't know. And I just think Zach's reaction is so funny. He's not arguing. He's just like, what? It's so, so weird. This is such a wild dinner. Michelle is trying to talk and Jesse hits the table all crazy. And he's like, let Michelle speak. So Michelle breaks this down. She goes, they all say that they didn't say that. And I believe everybody at this table would not be my friend if they thought that. And Kristen goes, I don't think that. And Michelle goes, that's not what I just said. Now, that isn't what she just said. What Michelle is saying is, I don't think they said I'm racist. I think you said I'm racist. You are trying to now blame it on them. So, Kristen, own up to that or something. That's what she's saying. Zach's interview goes, I don't know how this became something I said because that's not true. But I will tell you this. If you call someone a Republican in LA, that's a death sentence right there. That is a social suicide moment. You better be on the DL if you're a Republican because you're not getting invited to anything. Now, as much as I, you know, wish that were not, that's not true. I don't wish that were true. But Zach is operating in a very specific circle of people because something that I do know from when the second time Trump was, when he was up for re-election, there are a lot, and I mean a lot of Trump supporters here. There was the hugest Trump parade. Like, it was like a big Trump support and parade that went on for miles and miles. Jews for Trump, Mexicans for Trump, women for Trump, every single type of sign you could think of. And it was, as I was driving by it, I was like more and more shocked because there were hundreds of people. So Zach isn't necessarily accurate, to be honest. It just depends on his social circle is what he means, in his social circle. But even then, I'm like, Zach, I still don't know about that. Because I do think that even in the most liberal of circles, people can have some conservative opinions on things and surprise you. And so I just wanted to address that. That is, it's not accurate. Jesse, again, with like, it's very like Godfather-esque the way he's talking at the head of the table. He goes, "You disrespected my family name." All right. What name? Who are you? We have a business we run together. If something like this gets out, you're ruining lives. Michelle goes, "Not only that," and Jesse, who just shut down people and banged on the table to let Michelle talk, he puts his hand up. He gives her the back of the hand. He goes, "Michelle, please." Excuse me? And Zach made this face like, oh, no, don't do that, you motherfucker. You just told us to shut up and listen. Hey, Michelle, please. So got it. Michelle, get out. Run, Michelle, run. But then Jesse goes, "You were thrown off the fucking show for being an actual racist." All right. Then I thought, okay, so when that happened, I was like, oh, I didn't know we were going to talk about this. I didn't know we were going to say, we were going to be allowed to like break fourth wall like that. Because we always like to pretend they like to pretend like we're not watching a show. You know what I mean? So I didn't know they were going to say Kristen was thrown off Vanderpump. And they didn't say Vanderpump, but the show. I didn't know that was going to happen. So I didn't know if we were going to address it. And to be honest, I thought that Kristen, if she had learned anything, honestly, truly, she would have said to producers, "I would love the opportunity to talk about what I did and say what I've learned." But it feels like because she started to start this bullshit with Janet, then it's like, well, Kristen, what about you? Aren't you one to talk? Which was she didn't know what she was doing. So here's what she says in her interview. "It's the worst thing in the world to be labeled anything, let alone a racist." Now, I'm going to stop you right there. That is where you lost me. That was your first line and you lost me. Let me explain why. Okay. Because the worst thing in the world is to be the one experiencing the oppression, the isms, the sexism, the racism. You called the cops on faith because there had been a string of robberies in the area. When you look at the footage of who was doing it, they look nothing like Faith at all. And though you called the cops on faith, do you not know that that could be potentially fatal for a Black person? So, Kristen, the worst thing is not to be labeled racist. It's not. That should not have been the fucking lesson. The worst thing is to be called a racist. Oh, you already lost me, bitch. You already lost me. And nobody knows better than me because it happened to me and I was canceled. Ugh. No. And then she doesn't even... Okay, then she goes, "It was probably the hardest time in my entire life." Okay, about you still. "I'm not proud of what I did and that I hurt people, but I've learned from my mistakes." That's it? That's all you got? That's all you got? Because Kristen, it wasn't just this one thing with Faith. I don't remember exactly, but when I did I can't remember if it was season one, two. It might have been the season with Billy Lee. God dang it, I can't remember. But Kristen says something really ignorant. They're talking about, I think maybe it was Billy. Maybe it was something Billy had said, and if she brought in like cis privilege, and Kristen was like, "Oh God, don't bring that into it, please." People are always trying to do that. There was something else too. What did she say about like she seemed very irritated at the thought of someone bringing up like issues such as race. I cannot remember what it was, but Kristen has a history of being problematic. And so I would have hoped, wrongfully, that this little conversation, and by the way, when she says, I'm not proud of what I did and that I hurt people, it's a different interview setup from what it starts as. So something in me tells me that they were like, Kristen, you didn't really say like, sorry. Do you want to just throw that in there? And she was like, sure, yeah. And then throws it in there like from when she was talking about something else. They're like, let's go back and do a pickup of you actually addressing it. And that's all she gives is that. And she goes, but these are my friends sitting there. They know my past. And all I wanted to do was pick up the pieces and move on with my life. People finally gave me a chance again. And now it's like brought up all over again. And I'm going to have to relive it again. I hope that my life doesn't fall apart. Girl. Girl. I'm so sorry, but nope. Now I don't feel bad for you at all because you've learned nothing. You thought you could get Janet in trouble using this and it didn't work. And now you're screwed. And now I'm just going to enjoy the fuck out of watching you get dragged for filth this entire season and just be unhinged. Unhinged. Brittany's already said that Kristen came into the season just like ready to go. And so I'm going to enjoy it because is she getting ganged up on in this dinner? Yeah. Do Jesse, Michelle, and maybe even Janet have something to answer to? Yeah. And I don't know if they will. Maybe they will. Maybe they won't. It sounds like from what Dana says in that clip that I played from the podcast that Jesse's problematic thoughts or opinions or whatever are going to get brought up in this season. So we will see more play out. I'm not saying Kristen is the only guilty one here, but I'm saying Kristen has learned fucking nothing. She just survived through it somehow, and now she's back on the show, and she's like, I'm sorry for those that I hurt. No. You could have changed the way this went down, genuinely. Let's say she did decide to make the dumb decision and try to, like, throw Janet under the bus for this, which was such a bad move, in my opinion. But let's say she did do that. If she had given an interview and said, what I've learned is that I had all of these unconscious biases. I did not know that, but I did. I did not realize how much privilege I had. I didn't know all that. I had to learn all of that. And I'm still learning all of that. But I would love to keep learning and let people see that I want to be better. Do you see? I'm convinced. I convinced myself. Kristen, but she didn't. She didn't learn anything. She just felt like a victim. Because again, she's like, I am now a victim of racism. You know, have you guys ever seen the South Park episode? It's so problematic. But it's a comment on the offense that white people take to being called racists versus understanding the lesson that needs to be learned in the process. So the episode starts with Stan's dad is on Wheel of Fortune, and he's at the final puzzle, and every letter comes up right away. It's like the R-S-T-L-N-E or whatever it is, and what comes up is N, and then he guesses the letters, G and whatever. So what comes up is N, nothing in the middle, G-G-E-R. The topic is people who annoy you. And so Stan's dad is looking at Randy's like, I know it, but I don't know if I should say it. And they're like, 5 seconds, 5 seconds, Mr. Marsh. And then at one point they even have like a black cameraman poke his head around from around the camera, like, what's she going to say? And he goes, okay, fine. And he says the N word, hard R and everything. And they're like, Buzz, it's nagger. Nagger. So this obviously opens up the doors for Randy being called the N-word guy. It's that N-word guy. It's the N-word guy. And so he's like, it's this whole thing. He's all sad about it. And he goes to this comedy show, and the comedian is like, oh my God, I know you. You're the N-word guy. You're the N-word guy. And so he's like, oh man, I'm so upset. And he leaves. And then he's like walking down an alley, and Michael Richards, remember the guy who played Kramer, who said the N-word in one of his live shows like over and over again? And man, I can't remember. Maybe Robert Blake. I can't remember. There were other people who had been, quote, labeled the N-word guy. So what they do, where the episode goes, is these white guys get together and end up passing a bill in Congress that bans the term N-word guy. Not the N-word, N-word guy. So that they don't have to be labeled. No one ever has to suffer being labeled as an N-word sayer. Okay, no one has to... I always think about that in terms of people being like, being called racist is the worst thing. We all should be like unlearn, like we not should be, but we all are unlearning as white people, I think. And I don't shy away from that. You know, I am half Mexican, but I don't look it. I have every bit of privilege there is. I'm blonde with green eyes. I'm as light as it gets. And apparently that is like an easy life. And I didn't know that. You know, now I know that. And so Kristen has not learned, but she's got a friend. Jasmine's her friend. And so, you know, you always kind of think, all right, well, if Jasmine's willing to forgive and forgive, whatever, that's fine. Maybe Kristen has learned something. Maybe she's not articulating it well, but she's not articulating it very well. Okay. So as white people, if someone feels that something you did is racist, it's at least worth asking, shit, okay, I might have a blind spot. Why is that racist? Because it's possible it is, you know, it's, but to not be afraid of it. And I know we say like cancel culture will get you and stuff and you have to like weather the storm, but everybody gets out of it eventually. Everybody, you do have to weather a storm, but everyone seems to get forgiven in the end. It's how you handle it, right? And Kristen didn't even handle it well. She didn't do like a bunch of interviews where she fixed it or anything and made me feel good. I think there's just like one headline when they say, because they were showing headlines like above Kristen's head when she was like, my life was ruined. They're like, Kristen Doty's fired. And then it was like, but I've learned my lesson. And they just put this one headline. Kristen said she's learned her lesson or she, whatever it was. I was like, that's it. That's all we got. We really didn't get more of that. So we don't need to be so afraid of the label. Okay. Also, there's always a market for racists, by the way. Look at Donald Trump. Okay? There's like a market for it. So look at Kelly Dodd. Kelly Dodd is thriving off Bravo because she found her audience, her demographic. I'm rambling. I'm sweating. I'm hot. Like, well, I have been talking a lot. Somehow this show still feels light, I gotta say. Somehow. The Valley still feels like a light viewing experience, even though they're talking about such heavy topics. Maybe it's because I align with the topics and the concerns, as opposed to having to like sit through just ignorant statements about things that I don't agree with. I don't know. But I still find the show to be light and fun. And I'm so sorry to the producers, creators, and cast of this show for talking so much shit and being like, oh, what are we even going to do over there? Like, ugh. A lot of us creators are eating our words. We're like, we were so wrong. This is a great show. So on that note, let me wrap this up before I get myself in any more trouble. And yeah. All right, guys. I'm going live on Saturdays and Sundays at 10 a.m. now. Tomorrow's live is Drag Race, Teen Mom, and Jersey Shore. I'm still going to be doing Jersey Shore shit talk and recaps. And that is set tomorrow. And then Sunday, weekly wrap up with Kendrick. And we'll also be talking about Martha's Vineyard at the end. So that's how I'll be covering Martha's Vineyard this year, is at the end of the wrap ups with Kendrick. We will talk about the episode and then you get to watch the new episode that night. So that's how I'll be covering it, because it just made sense. It just made sense, because I would have covered it with Kendrick anyway. Might as well just, you know, knock it out in the recap. So I hope to see some of you who can make it this for the lives. And my Summer House people over on the Patreon, I want to do my best to get Summer House out tonight. I think I can do it. I think I've managed to figure out how to get my dad set up. So for those who don't know, I am moving my dad out into his own place. So I will be taking over this entire 2-bedroom apartment. It is the first time I've ever had this much space to myself. So I'm like overjoyed. So next week, I may have a little bit of a delay with some episodes just because I'm going to be putting together like the furniture for the other room and trying to and getting a couch delivered and just a bunch of stuff getting delivered and set up and put in place. But I'll try not to fall behind on episodes. And then starting the week after, I'm going to bring back guest episodes. Woo! I'm going to be, I've got to start expanding who I talk to and who I interact with in terms of this community, because I've just been talking to myself, I know. So I've got Ceci from Bravo Docket that I'm going to chat with, and the Crappens guys, I'm going to get them. They're probably not going to come on till June, but I'm going to start lining up some guests and doing just a, it's just going to be a guest episode. It's not going to be a recap. We will just do like current topics, just a chat. Because I found that when I recapped with people, with guests, while it would go really well, like the final product, people would be like, oh my God, the guest is so great. You guys have such a great rapport. A lot of editing would go into those because you don't know how you're going to interact with somebody. You don't know how they communicate, how they talk, what they say, what their opinions are. So I would try to do like at the top of the show when I would have a new guest on, I would go through the cast and say, okay, what's your thoughts on this person? What's your thoughts on that person? To try to gauge how to cover the show through the recap. And it's just a very tricky thing to do. So rather than keep making it like a crapshoot, like whether or not it's going to be a good episode, I'll just have guests on and talk about any current news or whatever, but mainly like Bravo shows, what's happening on the shows, so that we can get another perspective on things, but not have it be limited to just like that show's recap. Does that make sense? I hope it does. All right. Love you. Mean it. I'll see you soon. Bye. Thanks for tuning in to She's Speaking with Emily Hanks. This show is produced, hosted, and edited by me, Emily, and brought to you in partnership with Cloud 10 Media. If you are looking for bonus content, check out the Patreon. The link is in the description. To show some support, you can hit that subscribe button and turn on notifications so you never miss an episode. Another free way to support the pod, please rate and or review on whatever platform you listen. It's free, and it helps the algorithm or something. You can also head to buymeacoffee.com/shespeaks and buy me a coffee or two. Make sure you're following me on all social medias. I am She's Speaking with Emily Hanks across all platforms. Threads, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook. That's it. Thank you guys. See you soon.